16 centuries ago, there was a simple-minded father of the church, Firmicus Maternus by name, who wrote a book called The Errors of the Profane Religions. It is the most valuable book that a stupid man ever wrote, and modern scholars have great difficulty in learning the real doctrines and practices of the religions of the Roman world in the first few centuries of the Christian era. They were suppressed by law when Christianity was established, and Christian writers, for good reasons, do not tell us much about them. But Firmicus was not a diplomatist. He sat down to write all that he knew about the pagan religions, and we get very valuable information from his pages. Firmicus was very much disturbed, and, if parts of his book were translated and published, a good many simple Christians would be disturbed. He found that many of these pagan religions of the Roman world had saviours, or redeemers. He learned that every year the birth of these gods was celebrated, often in mid-winter, and every year, often about the time of our Easter, the death and resurrection of the gods were celebrated. He discovered that in some of these religions bread and wine were used at the altar, and candles and incense and sacred water were part of the ritual. Poor Firmicus concluded that the devil had revealed or inspired these things to the pagan nations before Christ was born, in order to spoil the success of the Christian church when it should be founded. "The devil has his Christs," he exclaimed. What it all really meant, we shall see later. It is part of the study of evolution. Creeds and legends and rituals have evolved just as stars and flowers have evolved. But until this wonderful discovery of evolution was made, about the middle of the 19th century, the work of creation was divided between God and the devil. All good things, especially all true religion, came from God. All evil things, especially false beliefs, came from the devil. Man, of himself, was a poor little mannequin, not capable of doing much, either good or evil. We now have a science of religion, just as we have a science of rocks and atoms, of bodies and of minds. The common idea that science deals with material things and religion with spiritual things is very far astray. One of the best known sciences in America is the science of the mind, psychology. Is the mind a material thing? Then we have a science of aesthetics, or of the sense of beauty, a science of ethics, or of the moral sense, a science of sociology, and so on. Science merely means the accurate and critical study of anything that exists. Religion is a fascinating subject for scientific study, and we now have scores of learned experts studying the origin and development of religion. Religion has had, for ages, certainly for tens of thousands of years, so large and commanding a part in the life of man that it is a most fitting subject for a scientific study. What a drama! What an epic it will seem to the student of a later age if, as I think, humanity is just now outgrowing all religion. Take the savage tribes which put before us today a vivid picture of what all men were a few thousand years ago. Religion dominates and absorbs them, even more than sex. All their hopes and fears centre around the rude temple and the native priest. Then man became civilized, and of all the great cities that they built, little remains today but the ruins of their temples. It is the temples of Egypt, the temple mounds of Babylonia, the Parthenon of Athens that we go to see. The cathedrals of the Middle Ages survive in all their splendour, while the homes of those who built them crumbled into dust ages ago. So much men did for the gods, so little for themselves.